Everyone can hear me clearly. Everybody should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Council's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business that it relates to. Having declared an interest, the member should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you're attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I'll bring in members once all those in the chamber have spoken. Instant messages should be kept at the following: Q for a question, C for comment, P to propose, S to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Okay, item one, apologies. So we have apologies from Councillor Tinley.
Yeah, we've also apologies from Councillors Brennan, McGuinness and McAvoy.
Okay, any additional apologies for that from the floor? Ben?
I think Big Henry's on online there. He's not that well there at the moment.
Okay, yeah, he's online. Okay, on the chairperson's remarks, I want to start by offering our thanks as councillors and as a council body to the NIE crews and all those who worked on the ground in the aftermath of Storm Éowyn. Also to the council officers who worked to set up centres right across our district and all the elected reps for all the work that yous have done on the ground. It certainly was once in a generation storm, and the damage is still being felt by people across the district who are still out. I know there's ongoing issues with BT and fibrous lines, but I just wanted to pass on our thanks to all those that were working on the effort, including the councillors. I also want to congratulate the new High Sheriff of County, Peter Leckie, who had the pleasure of meeting last week. He took over his post from the outgoing Sheriff, Sue Wilde, and I certainly wish him all the best in the year ahead in his role as High Sheriff, and hopefully there's some events where we do cross paths. I want to congratulate Ashley Steele of Hollymount Pipe Band, who was crowned world champion at the World Solo Drumming Championships in Glasgow. Ashley took the top spot among 25 other competitors in the under-14 juveniles section 1 grade. And I look forward to hosting Ashley on behalf of Councillor Johnny Jackson and her family at the council in the coming weeks for a reception to recognise her monumental efforts and achievements. I also want to congratulate the new pool team from the Brain Injury Foundation, who I had the pleasure of meeting last week. So the Brain Injury Foundation from Camla had entered the Northern Ireland Disabled Pool League for the first time. It's the first time a team had been set up by brain injury survivors. They competed up in Coleraine and on their first attempt won the division. So we'll be back into it this year. But more importantly, they've opened the door for more teams, teams with brain injuries, to compete next year in the competition. So huge congratulations to them. I had the chance to give out medals to them. I had a chance of trying to play a wee bit of pool. I certainly won't be getting on their team. But best of luck to them in the future, and well done to all that work on the Brain Injury Foundation. I want to pass on our condolences from the council to the family of the former councillor, William Brown, who passed away last Friday. He sat as an Ulster Unionist councillor and was past chairman of Down District Council. And along with my colleague, Councillor David Taylor, I want to extend sympathies to his wife, Evelyn, his daughters, Lorraine, Rosemary, and the rest of his family. And also Councillor Alan Lewis, who had brought to my attention on William's passing as well. I want, on behalf of everybody here in the chamber, offer our condolences to Councillor Una McGuinness and the McGuinness family on the recent passing of her brother, Brian. Una and her family will continue to be in our thoughts and prayers at this time. Okay, so moving on to item three, to set a district rate for the financial year 25-26.
Sorry.
Yeah, sure. If you don't mind, just in the vein that you were speaking about, obviously the storm, etc. And I do think it's worth bringing up the fact that we had we could never complain about the teams from NAE, etc. that have been on the ground. But I think on another council, I think we'll find the same, that there was a lack of connectivity in terms of NAE's councillors' contact line. That's supposed to be a hotline for councillors. I take that with a pinch of salt, having questions, and eventually get through after numerous hours to people to the so-called upline. It's really a call centre for everybody who want to connect out. And I think the amount of time it took you to get through, I think it wasn't good in terms of our role as representatives. People, some of them who had phone lines and absolutely everything, came to people's houses seeking help. But I do think that something needs to be looked at in terms of that and see can they improve their helpline for us there particularly. And also, I must say, fibrous as well. It's left a lot to be desired. Absolute disgrace. They're a publicly funded body and people have never got through to them. They spent an hour and a half waiting on a call to get through, and all it said was there are more than five people ahead of you. So I think they need to look at things again, because situations like this are going to rise again, and I don't think they particularly are providing any sort of a service to public representatives, while NAE is, but albeit that it's quite tenuous.
Exactly.
So I think council should maybe write to both organisations in view of this. I hope people would support me in this as well.
Okay, I am on the basis of, and I usually don't take any comments in on chairperson's remarks, but that's quite a pertinent point to be made. I just want to remind members that NIE actually come to our meetings of the Special Council, so if we can get a date for them to come to us to raise the issues around the elected reps helpline. I know it would stop the line being clogged up if you can actually get elected reps come through in a timely fashion to raise that with them. But also be conscious that if we're writing to NIE to ask them to come in front of the Council to do it, and that it's at the end of their efforts of restoring all the electricity right across. They're bogged down with a lot of work right now, and I wouldn't like to be making that more difficult for them by having them coming in front of Council. So you've made a proposal there. I'm going to take in other speakers because there's a proposal on the floor before we move to the rates. So, Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, and I appreciate you bringing me in, Chair, because no, we don't normally come in under Chairperson's remarks, but Sinn Féin will not be supporting that in any way. I cannot fault the efforts of NIE. I think they were absolutely fantastic. We were dealing with a major crisis. At the end of the day, there was 300,000 people without electric. It was dangerous conditions. There's been men, women working round the clock all week, and they're still out there at the minute, probably with little break, with little sleep, leaving their own families, putting themselves out, and we're going to write, and because an elected rep line was clogged up. I mean, we were in a major catastrophe. I just don't think that's a fair synopsis of how NIE actually delivered. No later than our Saturday night, I was on the phone to them at 10 o'clock, and the generators out to three different residents in Ballykindler. And they couldn't have been more helpful. And that's the feedback I got from residents as well, that when they were putting the request in, they were delivering for them. So I just, we can't support that, Councillor Bacot here.
I'm going to be fair to people across the chamber. I do not take people in to make comments on the chairperson's remarks. There has been a pertinent point made on NIE. I'm going to take one speaker in from each political party and the independents if they want to come in, and then we're going to leave it at that. I want to take the proposal that was put on the floor and see if we have support for it then. So, Councillor Taylor and then Councillor Lewis.
Yeah, Chair. Listen, Chair, I have to be honest with you, I think your remarks were more than adequate tonight, you know, in terms of covering what needed to be covered. What we face probably is as a community, and that's not just our district, but across Northern Ireland, it was unprecedented. That's the reality of it. The level of damage that was caused to the network. I have to say, the elected members' hotline, there was times you did have to wait to get through to it. But listen, there were so many of us phoning. That's the reality of it. I'm sure every 41 of us in this chamber were phoning. I was on probably at least 3-4 times a day, and when I was on for at least 30 minutes a time. That's no exaggeration, because the list that I had was so extensive in terms of the areas that I was covering. I know yourself, sure, you're in the same DEA as I am, and you were getting people from across the district approaching you about trying to suppose get a bit of hope and a bit of information about if and when their supply was going to be restored. So I really don't think, you know, we should be criticising NIAE, because, listen, there's people I know personally have been working around the clock. People with young families that haven't seen their families over the last week because they've been trying to restore electricity supplies. There were circumstances, I'm sure, that we all faced that were worrying for us as elected representatives, where we had constituents that were in extremely vulnerable and precarious situations. But I have to be honest with you, in those situations when I spoke to NIAE, they'd done everything they could to try and support those families. You may not have got everything that you wanted from them, but they certainly endeavoured to, whether it be speaking to them directly or offering advice or providing, in some cases, as you say, Councillor Allen, generators in those circumstances where it was needed. But as I say, what we were dealing with was completely unprecedented. Something I think probably I hope we don't have to endure for a long time again. But I think with any of these situations, I'm sure NIAE, the executive, our own council and all the various departments that were involved in the recovery process will look at what they've done throughout this past week and more, and we'll look at it again and say, how can we do things better? I have my own thoughts on some of the stuff as well that we maybe could look at improving for NIAE and other agencies. But again, we can all tap into that process as and when, you know, it does take place. But I think for us to turn around at this stage and say NIAE didn't do their job, in my opinion, that would be wrong. Because I say the guys on the ground were working around the clock to get us in a position where I think now we're probably sitting around 200 homes at this stage, and I hope to have them restored later tonight. But the hotline, as I say, there was a bit of a wait sometimes, particularly in the first day or so, but as time went on, I was getting through fairly quickly and getting the chance to have fairly detailed and fairly extensive conversations with any operators that I was speaking to. So I think it would be wrong to try and kick the organisation, particularly at the time they've given so much to try and restore power across our district and indeed across the entire country at this moment in time. So there will be a time where we as individuals and where we all as parties can tap into those processes to advise where we think things could be improved. But I don't think as a council we should be sending a message tonight that we weren't happy with NIAE, because that's not the case. I couldn't certainly endorse that, because I have to be honest with you, I felt them they were more than helpful, and the staff that were on the ground were more than doing what they should have been doing. They went beyond the call of duty, in my opinion, to try and get us in a position where we are now. So I certainly wouldn't be endorsing, you know, giving criticism at this moment in time. I think there's, you know, a thanks would be more than sufficient at this stage.
Councillor Taylor. Councillor Lewis.
Sure, it's just also note that we won't be supporting that proposal, and I would almost question why it was brought and why it was raised. He would say that if you had been contacting NIAE all day long, you'd know what time to sort of ring, that you wouldn't get stuck in an hour-long queue, because what I was doing was ringing at 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, and you were able to move quite quickly through the areas, the streets and homes that you had off, and then relay that. And I can actually say that the call centre staff were very good at going into in-depth detail once they knew that you were able to feed that back into the local community. And it's also just to note the point, it's not an elected rep line, it's a critical care line. So everybody who's registered as a critical care customer also has access to that line. At one stage, it was receiving upwards of 2,000 calls an hour. There was 94,000 people off. You know, you can't come in and say that the system's not working. The system needs updates on the mouth of what was the most severe storm that I've ever hit here. And I just want to add our thanks to the teams, and I've only been a councillor since 2019, but you learn to build up people you can contact in NIAE. You build those relationships, and look, you don't always have to sit in the helpline. You build relationships, and what they've done over this last week was fantastic.
Thanks, Councillor Lewis. Thank you, Councillor Lewis. Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. No, we wouldn't be supporting this either. I have to say, I did realise that the number that I had was blocked pretty quickly. So the NIE had multiple platforms on which to contact them by, and the most successful one that I found was WhatsApp. I had roads out to people running out of oxygen in their houses, and NIE were absolutely spectacular with every single case that I was sending them and keeping in contact. There's no way that we would support this. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor Fraser. Councillor Sharvin, I've already taken one from each party. Yeah. Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I would reiterate what was said is that the work that NIE and Fibres and actually all utilities and organisations that have done was to be commended and actually outstanding right across the district, given the level of impact that they had. And I know, as many have said around this chamber, the number of people contacting us over the period of time was significant. I had a fantastic experience with NIE personally. I had a family whose daughter is very reliant on electricity supply to feed her and to continue to be supported through that. And NIE registered them against the medical support care, and they can't be faulted. What I think Councillor McAteer is aiming to do, and it's been touched on, is how do we learn? You know, We as a council have a business continuity plan. We have emergency plans on how we react. And there is a time to reflect on how we did and how could we do better. And I think that is the purpose of this proposal. It is not, we are not criticising. We are not saying that they didn't do a good job. But there is still people that don't have electricity, that don't have internet, that don't have a telephone line. And the people that are trying to resolve that are exhausted. I think that we acknowledge that. But we do need to look at lessons learned. So how do we learn from this event? One of the most major weather events that we have had in my 13 years as a councillor. But it's more how do we ensure going forward, if this was to happen again, that we don't have any gaps, that we have addressed and we have learned from the experience. So I don't think asking Fibres to set up a support line that is accessible, not just for elected representatives, but also, you know, residents and so forth. I think NIE did have multiple, you know, I used Facebook chat. It was one of the most easiest ways of communicating to them, but not everyone has that. So there's elected representatives around this chamber that had no electricity, had no signal, had no Wi-Fi. So how were they going to make contact with them? You know, there's a councillor I know that drove into Newcastle to get signal and to respond to people. You know, so we do have to learn from the event. But I think at the forefront, we do acknowledge, we do praise them, and we do thank them for their continued efforts. And they still continue, but we do need to learn from the event ourselves as a council, but also as organisations.
Yep, thanks, Gareth. I'm going to take Marie in.
Yeah, Chair, thank you. I suppose just to advise members, obviously, this was a significant event. Council did stand up their emergency plan. You would have seen the various communications from us. When we make the decision to stand our emergency plan down, which we will do, I would say, when we know all households are back to restored power and we make that decision, then we have within 6 weeks, we do actually a lessons learned and feedback, and we actually do survey elected members, and that's your opportunity to feed that in. We then feedback that back through the multi-agency platforms, and any comments and learning are gathered at that point. So that is the process that we follow for these types of events. And unfortunately, it's a well-rehearsed process at this point.
Yeah, thanks, Marie, for that valuable information on the process that will follow this. Councillor McAteer, from what was said across the chamber and from Marie's input there at the end about the process where we can feed in lessons learned once this crisis is over, because we're still in the middle of it for many, many houses. Are you content with that way forward, or is there a proposal on the floor?
Sure. I mean, obviously, people think slightly different and had a bit of a different experience than I had and some of the people I was dealt with. So that's why I brought it up. Obviously, as I said in the very, very big opening remark, no issue with the teams, no issue with the service provided in terms of that. But in terms of public representatives trying to get information for people, there was a big deficit in that, and that's why I brought up that following your remarks. And but that was the no support for any. Everybody's quite happy with the status quo. We can't get through, and therapists don't provide anything at all. So people are quite happy with that. Well, who am I to challenge that? I'm not going to get support with it. There's nothing I can do more than that. But happy enough to listen to what Marie's saying. I don't even know where fibres feed into that or not. Quite a big provider now. Notice I didn't mention Openreach. They're very, very good.
Thanks, Councillor.
Lessons to be learned from fibres specifically.
Absolutely. And
we're going on the radio tomorrow, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said from Marie coming in, that there will be lessons learned at the end of this crisis. We have, sorry, I missed the councillor. I did say all party groups and any independents. Councillor Gibbons online is looking to come in.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just as an independent, I just want to say I don't endorse Councillor McAteer's comments. And I would be representing up and around Declan's area as well. And I had no problem contacting the NIE, and I just think his remarks are very demoralising, and I just hope that he retracts them. And I think he is. I think he's taking a step back, but I had absolutely no problem with the contact with NIE, and they were fantastic. They were on the ground doing the hard work, and I want to applaud them. So thank you, Chair.
Okay, that's everyone spoke. I know Councillor already have your hand up, but I had one representative in from the DEP group, and this was on the chairperson's remarks, so I think it's fair only letting one from each group come in. Okay. So if everyone's content with that, we're going to move on to item 3, to set a district rate for the financial year 25-26, and it's over to yourself, Marie.
Thank you, Chair. So, members, in accordance with the requirements of the Local Government Finance Act, Northern Ireland 2011, as the Chief Financial...
Yes. Keep me right, Sarah. And that's why nobody's getting in on chairperson remarks again. item 2, declaration of interest. Are there any? One. Okay. Oh, sorry.
Housing Council. It's coming later on.
Yep. 100%.
Also, Councillor Howell has declared an interest in item 6 in the ERT committee minutes.
That's just the 2. And for the recording, we're just going to go back to item 3, set a district rate for the financial year 25-26.
I'm from the top. In accordance with the requirements of the Local Government Finance Act, Northern Ireland 2011, as Chief Financial Officer, I'm required to provide assurance to members on the robustness of the revenue estimates and the adequacy of the Council's reserves position as part of the rate-setting process prior to submission to the Department for Communities. Detailed estimates have been formulated, presented to and scrutinised by members of the Strategic Finance Working Group. These have taken into account earnings from previous years, corporate pressures, planned savings and efficiencies, current spending plans and projected future investment, and that adequate funding is available to protect frontline services. There have been 5 Strategic Finance Working Group meetings since November 24 in preparation for striking of the 25-26 rate. The action sheet for each meeting are attached at Appendix 7. As a result of this extensive process and the detailed analysis that have been undertaken, I am satisfied that the estimates presented should provide adequate financial resources to support the running costs of the Council for 25-26, and that reasonable consideration of financial risks to the Council have been made in preparation of those estimates. I would therefore make a recommendation to members to approve the considerations and recommendations of the Strategic Finance Working Group in relation to the 25-26 rate setting process, and they're attached at Appendix 7. And having regard to the statement that is provided within the report and required by the Local Government Finance Act, Northern Ireland 2011, that this Council approves an increase in the district rate for 25-26 of 3.98% based on an estimated penny product of 2525089, meaning a non-domestic rate of 30.1884 pence and a domestic rate of 0.4862 pence. I further recommend that they approve the medium-term financial plan and authorise the 25-26 expenditure included in the estimates at Appendix 1, approve the general estimates of rates from 25-26 to be signed by myself as CFO at Appendix 2, approve the capital strategy report for 25-26 as required by the CIPSA Prudential Code at Appendix 3, approve the capital programme at Appendix 4, approve the Treasury Management Strategy Statement 25-26 at Appendix 5, approve the Minimum Revenue Provision Statement at 25-26 at Appendix 6, and approve the action sheets of the Strategic Finance Working Group relating to the rate setting process at Appendix 7, and they are held as a restricted item, just Appendix 7. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Marie. Open members on the floor. Open the floor for proposal, second, or to make comment. I'll make any proposals. Councillor Hannan.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Sinn Féin will propose the rate this evening. Our council team have been working diligently with finance officers, directors and the chief executive with many, many meetings over the past year, specifically discussing striking a rate for Newry Morning Down Council. This has concluded with a rate of 3.98, which in fairness is lower than the 4.5 predicted on the three-year projection set in 2023. It equates to approximately 47p per week for the average ratepayer. As elected representatives, it is one of our roles to oversee and scrutinise the financial management of council. Sinn Féin take this responsibility very seriously, and we want to secure a stable financial budget for the district, one which will secure funding for capital projects and continue to deliver for our communities. We have also agreed an increased budget to implement the cleansing schedule across the district, creating more jobs and purchasing modern fit-for-purpose equipment. This will ultimately ensure our towns and villages are maintained to the highest of standards and support the teams who work hard on the ground to deliver this service. It's imperative that Council continues to move forward with our plans to regenerate our towns and city and improve our tourism offerings. If we look across the district, there are very exciting projects being delivered by Council, such as the new play strategy, which will see upgrades in almost every DEA, digital transformation in Newry, the pump and skate park in Downpatrick, and also additional regeneration projects. We've upgrades to Castlewell and Forest Park, progression on Newcastle Leisure Centre in Rockville, and the refurbishment of Kilkeel Leisure Centre. Upgrade and maintenance of walking trails across the district also. The Council also provides a comprehensive financial assistance programme that supports our local communities across a variety of themes. Fiscal stability is critical to all of these projects. A further reduction of the rate would result in cutting services, service level agreements and supporting community events and ensuring jobs are safe for our staff. It has been another challenging year and challenges have been created for local government in terms of the increase for national insurance contributions and the rise in overall costs. Sinn Féin believe it's incumbent on all parties to work together for the benefit of the ratepayers and local businesses, particularly in these continued challenging times.
Thank you, Councillor Hannan. Councillor Murphy?
Yeah, I'd just like to say
We'll take down the list there. Just hold on a second, Declan. So, Councillor Murphy, Councillor Truesdale, and then Sheridan. Don't press your lights, sir. I'll switch it back on. Go ahead, Declan.
Okay, I'd just like to second that.
Thanks, Declan. Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. I want to reiterate our team position on seeking cost-effective and cost-efficient outcomes for our rates. We absolutely accept the democratic will of the Council, but cannot possibly support any rise in the face of the ongoing, unknown total expenditure of Newry Civic Centre and the Gondola project, especially during a time of great economic difficulty and uncertainty from a micro-council level to a macro-global level. These capital projects will result in additional borrowing, which in turn will be passed on to the ratepayer. We have produced a series of green initiative proposals that would drive down any rise in rates, which has been very well received across all councils in Northern Ireland. However, the produced document is not a council document. It is an ongoing work in progress, which we are happy to share. We are pleased to see sustainability considerations noted and are appreciative of the ongoing work in sustainability and environment on sustainability considerations, but would like to see a more definitive set of explicitly time-framed targets. We too have worked with the council senior management team and have engaged as they look for cost-saving measures to implement and keep the rates rise as low as it can be. However, these are cursory measures in the face of the huge expenditure to come as they continue on this path of progress with projects which are heavily opposed by the public and which have lacked appropriate transparency in terms of their development. We are strongly urging all parties to look realistically at what is coming down the track we are currently on. We cannot hang our hat on possible complementary funding to rescue us. There is a duty upon us all to ensure openness, transparency, accountability and value for ratepayers' money at all points in the interest of future-proofing our district. There are far greater projects of urgency, more cost-effective projects that make sense for residents right across Newry, Mourne and Down that we could be spending money on as we attempt to rebuild after years of austerity and cutbacks. And with that in mind, Alliance will be abstaining on the rates this year. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I suppose it may be beneficial at SFWG we explain when capital projects, the cost of them actually hits the rate. So maybe that's an action for a future event. But, Chair, whenever we reflect on the position we were in back in November, at the beginning of the rates process via the SFWG, it certainly has been a journey of working together to protect frontline services, enhance our offering, and continue to grow the council area as an attraction for investment opportunity and becoming the number one tourism destination across the north. In November, we faced a potential rate of 9.18%, which would have had a significant impact on local businesses and the people of our district. The Assembly and Westminster have not made it an easy process, with national insurance contributions contributing an impact of 1.3%, our rate support grant being continuously cut as far back as 2021-22, when we saw the grant cut by 25%, in 2023-24, a further 45% cut, and last year a cut of 36%, which attributes at least 0.5% onto the rate. These two factors alone are 1.8% on the rate we will strike tonight. This council has also seen cuts on animal welfare, PCSP, community event grants, and I could go on, but these all have to be picked up by the council to make our community safer, animals protected, and first-class events to go ahead. But we also need to be mindful that actually we don't have a programme for government. So we actually don't know what the Assembly are actually going to do. Maybe they will reinstate the rate support grant and give us the full complement that we got in previous years, but let's not hold our breath. Without the continuous cuts and lack of support for local government, we would have had different figures in front of us today, with the highest rate of 2.18%, but potentially sub 2%. Agreeing to a rate is never easy, but we have to reflect that we have achieved below the estimate of 4.21%, but we need to ensure that our frontline services continue and we keep moving forward as a district. Looking forward, we have and we will be delivering an ambitious plan. New refuge and cleansing vehicles across the district, and Councillor Hanlon touched on it, particularly in my own DA at Dunpatrick, where a seven-figure investment will enhance the cleansing services across the former Down District area. We are progressing the Rockpool and Newcastle to the design stage. We are investing in our play parks across the district, such as Granite View, Conway Park, Seaview and Hourglass, to the tune of $1 million. Ballykilner Centre of Excellence, we are investing through our multi-sports hub, Dunpatrick Regeneration Projects, Church Street, Coursey Place, Dunley, Pump, Track and Skate Park, another $500,000. Financial assistance. This council should be proud of the amount of money we give available to financial assistance, not just in sports capital, community capital, but events, with a tune of well over $1 million being given out in financial assistance and service level agreements. We can then look at the Newry City Park at Albert Basin, you know, $16.2 million of grant funding and the council's only having to give $2.5 million. In Castlewell, Forest Park, we're continuously investing in it and continue to want to strive to give it a better future. We have a sports facility strategy to the tune of $1.8 million. Chair, unfortunately, there's nothing more that we can do to reduce the rate. We can't cut any more. It will impact on the frontline services that we have and the plan that we continue to drive. We need to be honest with the people, and the continued cuts that we see by central government is tying our hands, and unfortunately we can go no further than the rate that we're having to look at tonight. So, Chair, the SDLP will be supporting the rate at 3.98% tonight.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Sharpin. If no more members looking to come in, so we do have a difference of opinion across the chamber. I will be going to a vote and I will be asking for a roll call because we've got people online. But just before we go to that vote, we have a proposal and seconder. Just from the chair, I want to make it very clear in the terms that were used for openness and transparency that I've always been open in my position in this chair and in my position as chair as SFWG. When we have proposals to try and reduce the rate increase, they're brought to the Strategic Finance Working Group and talked through with all groups. That has happened over the last couple of months. There are proposals that were brought, but Councillor Truesdale did say it from the Alliance group, that do not impact the rate this year, but will impact the rate in future years. And we said we'd have a conversation about that going forward. So I want to be completely transparent that it doesn't affect the rate this year, the proposals that were discussed at SFWG. If any parties feel that we can get the rate down below 3.98%, that I believe that all levers of local council and local government have been used unless we're into cuts, then they raise that at SFWG. Or you can raise it here this evening. That's what the process is for. I do believe that we've used all levers available to us. We have cuts and national insurance contributions from outside of this council imposed on us, which there's nothing we can do about. And let's be real, the rate support grant has been a bane for us for the last number of years. 10 years ago it was 18.4 million, it's down to 3.1 million. It's been cut by 83%. There are cuts that we can't reverse. So we've got to be honest with the public. The 3.98% of what we had proposed in our three-year rates last year, I know Councillor Hannan said it was 4.5%, I think it was 4.21%, were below that. So parties that were happy to sign off on the three-year last year and propose it, going against it this year, need to be honest and open with the public of where they'd find the cuts or where they'd find the savings. So I just want to make that clear on the point of openness. I'm going to move to a vote, so I'm going to ask Sarah to go through the roll call, and it's been proposed and seconded by Councillor Hannan and Murphy, so it'll be for or against.
Councillor Andrews? Councillor Bowsey?
Against.
Councillor Brennan is absent. Councillor Burney?
For.
Councillor Campbell?
For.
Councillor Clark?
For.
Councillor Devlin?
For.
Councillor Enright?
Abstain.
Councillor Fian?
For.
Councillor Finn? Councillor Finnegan?
Four.
Councillor Gabriel?
Four.
Councillor Gibbons?
Four.
Councillor Hanlon? Councillor Hanna?
Against.
Councillor Hart? Councillor Howell? Howell's dropped off. Councillor Howie?
Stand.
Councillor Jackson?
Against.
Councillor Kearns? Councillor King?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lee Surgener?
Abstain.
Councillor Lewis?
Against.
Councillor McGuinness is absent. Councillor Mathers?
Four.
Councillor McAteer?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy is absent. Councillor O'Hare? Councillor Declan Murphy?
Four.
Councillor Kate Murphy?
Four.
Councillor Selena Murphy? Councillor Quinn?
Four.
Councillor Riley?
Against.
Councillor Rice?
Four.
Councillor Owen. Councillor Sharvin.
Four.
Councillor Taylor. Councillor Tinley is absent. Councillor Truesdale. Councillor Young.
Abstain.
So I have 26 for, 5 against, and 5 abstentions.
Once the proposal was passed, I set the rate at 3. Okay, moving on to item 4. Sorry.
Yeah, Chair, I just want to take your point that you said there, Chair, that, you know, SFWG is the mechanism for parties to bring suggestions of, you know, how we reduce the rate and make savings. I am aware just after the vote that the DUP did vote against it. So I would be interested to hear from the DUP if they have any suggestions of how we could have reduced the rate rather than striking the rate that we have just done. So is there suggestions that the rest of the Chamber have missed that they feel we as a council have missed?
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Sharp, and members in the Chamber can come in and speak on it as they feel fit, unless people indicate. I'm moving on to the next item. That'll be discussed at the SFWG. Oh,
yep.
Come on in.
Yep, just respond to that. Yeah, thanks, Sharp. Yes. No, we as a group have identified a number of efficiency areas that we think could be improved, but I think suggestions were made at that stage and that we weren't listened to, so we need to go back to that.
We're going to leave it there as the decision has been made, and we can pick that up at the next SFWG meeting. Okay, moving on to item 4, which is the attitude to raise at the council meeting held on the 13th of January 2025. We'll go through it page by page. So we've got page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. Can I get a proposal on second? The attitude. Yeah, thanks, Councillor O'Hare. Proposed. Second. Councillor McAteer. The second. Any matters? Nope. Okay, moving on to item 5, which is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 13th of January 2025. Again, we'll go through it page by page. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14, page 15. Page 15. Making a proposal on seconder. Thanks, Councillor Murphy. Seconder, Councillor Sharvin. Councillor Kate Murphy, yep. Proposed on Councillor Gary Sharvin. Second. Oh, not the second. No matters. Okay. So moving on to item 6. Minutes of Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee held on the 20th of January 2025. Again, we go through page by page. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. Okay, can I get a proposal seconder? Someone present? Councillor Cairns and Councillor Hannan. Councillor Geraldine Cairns proposed and Councillor Una Hannan the second. Any matters arising? 30. So are you keeping an eye on the online one as well, in case it comes up? Yeah. Okay, moving on to item 7, which is the minutes of Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 23rd of January 2025. And again, we'll go through page by page. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9. Can I get a proposal seconder? Councillor Councillor Harry, I got mixed up on the maiden name. And Councillor Malish, sorry, dear. Councillor Malish, a second. Any matters arising? Councillor Devlin.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm just going to comment on a question in relation to page number 4 in terms of Castlelong Forest Park. And I suppose just the broad comment would be just to welcome the additional spend in terms of the utilities there. We really see this as a future proofing of Castlelong Forest Park into an amazing attraction for local people, but also tourism product that we hope that it will become even more so in the future. But just so we have this item in front of us, I think nobody more so than the local people appreciate the value of Castlelong Forest Park since Council's closed its gates. And we understand that's very much from a health and safety perspective, and I completely accept the damage to the Forest Park, I'm being told, is pretty devastating. I know that we had a bit of an update last week at the project board of the Arboretum of the Castlelong Task and Finish Board, whereby I know that we're hoping to get the lake walk cleared as quick as we can of trees. I know it's a mammoth task, and just to put on record my thanks to the staff, but I wonder, Chair, through you, would Connor maybe have a date for when some of the park might be back open again and when sort of how soon that would be? And I appreciate that might be done in stages. And there's some parts of the park are much more badly damaged than others, but we really missed it from an outdoor recreation perspective. So if there's some type of update there, Chair, that would be really appreciated.
Yeah, thanks. I'm going to take in Marie first.
Chair, if you don't mind, if I just come in first, I actually did a visit today myself to Castlelong Forest Park and met with our staff on site. And to be honest, the damage is very, very, very extensive. I have to say our staff on site are absolutely devastated by the damage and are taking it quite personally as well, because they're so passionate about the area. They haven't had a site inspection or site visit with them. They are working to try to get the lathe walk open, but we will be required to do a significant amount more work and also have safety inspections prior to getting that open. I think that we will be doing some more work from a publicity perspective over the coming days in relation to all of our forest parks across the district, because there has been significant damage. I think it is, and you've just given me the opportunity to say it this evening, they are really important tourism facilities for us. And having looked and having seen the damage today, we lost, I think, somewhere in the region of what Alwyn, the head gardener over there, would call something like 10 of our champion trees, which are in the hundreds of years old. So the costs are going to be significant, so we're going to have to look at that in the coming days and weeks. We do ask the public to bear with us, because it's not that we don't want people in our parks. Our staff today were saying they're missing the people in the parks. They know people locally who go, but from a safety perspective, we have to make sure everything is right before we can let people in. Connor, we don't have timelines yet, but we've done footage and stuff at this stage.
Yeah, well, we've carried out some drone surveys to try and identify the areas within the heavily wooded parts of the Castlelawn Forest Park to understand the scale. But I think some of the challenge will be that when the trees are removed, it's the damage that's been left behind.
Yeah.
And only once we clear the trees are we really going to understand what infrastructural works we may need to potentially rebuild some of the trails in the paths around the park. So that will be a slow process. We'll do it, as Marie said, in a very, very safe manner. And whenever we're ready to open up, we will open up. We'll not be a day early nor a day late, but it's whenever it's right. And as Marie says, we need to get specialist horticulturists or arboriculturists, or I'm not sure which one, out to inspect what trees are still standing to ensure that they don't pose a risk going forward. And if they need to be felled as well, we'll have to plan and program that in as well. So it's going to be slow, but we'll do it right, and we'll do it with the public safety and staff safety at the forefront of our decisions and how we move forward.
Laura?
Yes, well, just thanks, Marie and Connor, for that update. It is, obviously, I think the word devastating. I think I spoke to some staff, and I mean the staff we have in the Forest Park from Alwyn and Jolie and everybody that works there. They really do believe in the park and the product that we have, so I can just imagine how hurt they are by everything. But we look forward to receiving some updates. As you say, it has to be health and safety oriented in the initial stages. Thank you. Thanks, Chair.
Councillor Connor.
Thanks, Chair. This is SPNR we're on, isn't it? Item on page 6, reference to the planning. All those questions that were answered, the answers to them are asked to be sent out to each councillor, because, to be quite honest with you, at the moment, the planning committee is really struggling in every possible way it can. Staffing levels are dreadful, so there are the retention of officers doesn't seem to be working, so there's so many things there. I would like them questions answered and answers sent out directly to the councillors, Josephine. Simply because at the moment, I rang up about one application I did last week and said they were just starting into July, allocating them to officers. And, you know, that's 7 months ago now, so it is. I think it's getting worse, so it is. So could all them answers to them questions be actually circulated to all councillors?
Councillor Hannan, just to get clarity on what you're asking, are you asking for additional information?
Yes, I'm
they're ready in those. They are the answers to each of the questions.
But I tell you, I don't think there's sufficient one-line answers is not enough. The questions that were asked, I would like to see proper answers to them, so I would.
Yeah.
I'm not on SPNR, so I'm not.
Okay, so the only other thing is when you're minuting from the meetings, so there are the questions that were asked, and that's a summary of the answers. The only other thing that you have from the minutes is the audio, which is the full question. But you're asking for the specific information in this to be circulated with all councillors?
No.
As every quarter we have an update from the planning through our committee.
Chair, if you're going to pick a fight with me.
So I'm asking you what they're looking for.
What I'm looking for is clear and understandable answers. We're not getting through the backlog whatsoever, so we're not. We're not getting through the backlog at all. We're actually falling further behind. In Newry in particular, it's worse than what it is in the down area. I want to know the answers quietly. And actually, those answers, they really aren't answers at all. They're just sentences, in my opinion. They're not answering the questions. And I haven't time to sit and listen a whole audio and something like that there. I want all those questions answered in a way that every councillor can clearly understand.
Yep. Thanks, Councillor Hannah. That's what I was asked at the start for clarity before going to the officers. Do you want full answers to the questions that I hear circulated? Okay. I'm going to take in Conor.
Chair, the committee report that was tabled to support the agenda item at SPNR is very detailed and goes a long way in addressing and providing rationale and answers to the challenges that we face. They identify the challenges, which are the same challenges as you've raised, and they deal with the issues around backlog and validating applications and allocating them. So there is significant additional information within the committee report that was tabled that prompted the debate that's recorded within the action sheet. And that may be a first port of call in respect of looking at the detail and trying to get more information in respect of the areas of concern.
Honour, just on Glenn's specific question, can I ask that report circulated? Because I know if you're not on committees, you don't get access to the meetings. I know, but some councillors can't. I can't get access to some meetings.
Just for the record,
if you don't have access to it, then we can get that circulated.
I'm not going to get answers, Chair, Sean.
I've asked for it to be circulated if you don't have access, so Sarah will check with you access to that paper.
Sure, all councillors, just for the record, all councillors should have access to all papers through decision time. If you don't, can you flag that with Sarah? Because Sarah will be able to look at your accesses and make sure that you do have access, so just in case there is an issue there.
Have you enough, Glenn? Marie.
Sure, can I maybe suggest, obviously with this discussed on a quarterly basis through the SPNR committee, but maybe a suggestion to table it as a first item on the planning committee so that our planning committee members have the opportunity to discuss and it's at the audit committee, but we maybe do it on our planning committee as well so as all of our members get a good opportunity to input.
Yeah, thanks for that, Marie. Okay, any other questions on SPNR? Nope. Okay, so moving on to item 8, which is minutes of Active Healthy Communities Committee, held on the 27th of January, 2025. And page by page, we go through it. So it's page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 4. Can I get a proposal and seconder? Proposed by Councillor Devlin, seconded by Councillor Finn. Any matters arising? Questions? No. Okay. Item 9 is minutes of Sustainability and Environment Committee meeting held on the 29th of January 2025. And again, going through page by page. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, and page 5. I get a proposal and seconder. Councillor Jackson and Councillor Enright. Councillor Jackson proposed. Councillor Enright.
Yeah.
Full present, yeah. Yeah. Any matters arising?
It's just a point of accuracy, Chair. It's just in relation to a query I had raised on the electrical safety standards, the private tenancy regulation changes. It wasn't actually that I had inquired whether the Department for Communities had provided any resources. The report stated that they didn't. It was just to amend that, I actually questioned, you know, the implications of that in terms of the cost implication for us as a council, given that no funds were being provided by the Department for Communities. I think it states in the report that I queried whether any resources were being provided. The report provided on that even stated that there wasn't. It's only a minor thing, but it's just for a point of accuracy.
Yeah, that'll be correct, David. Thanks for raising that. Okay, so no further questions. Moving on to item 10, no issues on the planning section, so there's no issues. Item 11 is the correspondence report. Item 11 is the correspondence report, so we've got five items of correspondence there, so I'm going to take any questions on any of the items of correspondence. Just state which one you're speaking to. Councillor Finn.
It's 11.3, Chair, and it's just in relation to I suppose, as I have raised on a number of occasions, the sixth bridge over Newry Canal, which is something that myself and Councillor Fahan have raised on a number of occasions. I'd like to firstly thank the outgoing Infrastructure Minister for the time that he gave myself and Killian and two of our Sinn Féin colleagues, because I do think that was very important that that meeting was held. I'd like to make two proposals based on this. Obviously, we have a new Infrastructure Minister who's in post today, and I'd like to congratulate her. I think that is an incredible achievement, and I'd like to ask that we write to her to ask if her decision is going to be the same as her predecessor. And along with this, there is currently a consultation on the Southern Relief Road, and I'd like to ask that Council reaffirms our opposition for any proposal on a fixed bridge through that consultation process. Those will both be seconded by Councillor Fahan.
Councillor Fahan, sorry, who's seconding that proposal? Councillor Fahan. Okay, we've got a proposal. We're going to have to deal with the proposal first. If you want to just call it proposal again, Councillor Fahan. I want to take the other. We've switched out our light, so don't switch off your light. Sarah, I'll take the other.
Apologies, Cam. We're going to have to take a 5-minute recess if you propose and second it to look and see what's happened to the microphone system.
Yep. Can I get a proposal for...
Don't pull any more microphones out.
Councillor Devlin, and second it for just 5-minute recess. Councillor Kate Muffin. Okay, apologies for that short intervention with the IT going down. If we can all grab our seats, we're going to kick off here. So, I'm going to take it back to Councillor Fahan. Councillor Fahan, if you would say it again what your proposal is and who's seconding it.
Yeah, no, firstly, sorry for wrecking everyone's microphone. So there's two proposals, actually, and I think it's in light of the fact that we have a new Infrastructure Minister. I would like to get, I suppose, a clear direction. If she shares the same opinion on a fixed bridge as her predecessor, that will be seconded by Councillor Fahan. And then a second proposal that we respond to the ongoing consultation by the Department of Infrastructure, affirming opposition to the proposal for a fixed bridge over Newry Canal, and that will be seconded by Councillor Fahan.
Okay. Everybody in agreement with the proposals to write to the DF Councillor Enright?
Chair, our party notes this order is for a bridge over a navigable river. And since this project was first mooted, it's been our view that we need to keep the river navigable.
Councillor Enright, I have to deal with the proposal that's on the floor at the minute.
We want to add it to the proposal, Chair. Our concern is that the bridge as it currently constructed does not leave the river navigable, and there's been mistakes made in the past historically where the bridges over the Newry Canal has rendered the canal not navigable. Chair, it's our belief that the approach road to the bridge starts to rise towards the new bridge far too late. It needs to be sloping from the moment it leaves the dual carriageway. And we'd like to add on to this particular letter a request that the design needs to be looked at with a view to bringing the height of the bridge to an appropriate level for navigability by starting the slope as soon as it leaves the dual carriageway. Thanks, Chair.
That's an additional proposal or a proposal to amend an additional proposal for this. I have to deal with the first that's on the floor. Do you accept?
No, I don't, because I think they're different, and it's not that I think we're coming at it from the same angle, but I think they're different things, so that's up to yourself whether you want to put that forward, that proposal forward.
Okay, so going back to the original proposal, is everybody in agreement to write to the Infrastructure Minister on her position on the bridge, and also for the Council to reaffirm its position proposing the fixed bridge? Thanks, Councillor Fahan. Any other questions on the correspondence?
Yes.
Councillor Howie.
Chair, I'm just calling on my 11.2, I believe it is, which was in regard to my notice of motion regarding young people with SEN over 19. I just want to thank the Minister for his response, and I'm glad to see that his department are working on the issues that we raised, and obviously now Connor will be moving on, and it'll be the new minister, Keith Archibald. So I'm looking forward to what she brings to the post, and I hope that she can also bring forward legislation on this, and Connor noted at the end that he will be receiving advice from his officials in spring, so I assume that will come from Kiva, so I look forward to what she brings in the springtime. So thank you, Chair.
Thanks. Councillor Truesdale, is it the same?
No, it's 11.6.
Okay, I'm just going to take Marie in first.
Yeah, Chair, just to make you aware that Sarah has just advised me that we had a very late piece of correspondence on the same matter in relation to special educational needs come in from the Department of Health. We'll circulate that to all members this evening and open it through Council as well, just when we're dealing with that matter. Is that okay?
Yeah, Councillor Fraser, 11.6.
It's just on item 11.6. Firstly, I'd like to thank Roisin Coulter for the audit of current provision. And I'd like to ask council officers, and I don't know whether this should be a motion or a proposal, but it's just an ask for the booklet that's currently on the council website. It's called A Guide to Local Alcohol and Drug Services in the Down Area, but it's from 2016. Is there any way that that could be updated to keep in line with what Roisin Coulter has sent through, or have a look at it again to see if it is the very latest information?
Yeah, Chair, we'll certainly take that away and have a look and update as appropriate.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Crusoe. No further questions or comments? The correspondence? Can I get a proposal on seconder for noting all the correspondence? Councillor Harry? Seconder. Councillor Bersey? So, moving on to the notice of motion. So, item 12 is the notice of motion, Department of Health's consultation on hospital reconfiguration framework, RE Daisy Hill Hospital. This motion will be heard at Council tonight. And the motion is for Councillor Fian. If you want to read out your motion, tell us who seconded it, and then you can speak to it.
Thanks, Chair. So, the motion reads that this Council notes the Department of Health's ongoing consultation on the hospital reconfiguration framework, expresses its dissatisfaction that the Department has failed to schedule a public meeting in Uri as part of their consultation exercise, registers its concern at the proposed designation of Daisy Hill Hospital as a general hospital. This Council calls on the Department of Health to schedule a public meeting in Uri on the hospital reconfiguration framework before the February 20th deadline, commits to submitting a consultation response that supports the designation of Daisy Hill as an area hospital, and further calls for the Department of Health to engage with the Irish Government to identify mechanisms for establishing Daisy Hill as a cross-border area hospital. And the motion will be seconded by Councillor Finn. Chair, the reason I brought this motion before the Council is because it is the last opportunity that I will have to do so before the consultation ends. The consultation that's ongoing with the Department of Health at the minute is hospitals creating a network for better outcomes. I found it really, really strange that the Department of Health had scheduled a whole series of public consultations across the north, but had opted to place the Southern Trust consultation meeting in Armagh City. That has happened despite a draft recommendation that Daisy Hill Hospital should essentially be downgraded to status as a general hospital, which is defined by the consultation documentation as, quote, providing defined secondary care services geared to a specific, more isolated geographical location. I don't believe that this is an appropriate designation for Daisy Hill. I'm struggling to understand, as I say, the reason for the Department's exclusion of Newry from their public consultation. People in this area have shown tremendous enthusiasm for engagement in relation to health. Newry people are consistently turning out in high numbers in relation to the hospital specifically, and I have personally attended packed public meetings. I've marched with thousands of people on the street, and in addition to that, we have not one but two direct action committees advocating for health provision in the Newry area. I think the need is very, very clear for an area hospital in Newry. Under the proposed recommendations by the department, there would be no area or significant acute hospital between Drogheda and Portadown. In relation to the actual need for a more robust health provision than the department are proposing in Newry, it's worth noting that there are 161,308 people registered with GPs in Newry and District GP Federation. That's the second highest in the north after Derry. Newry and District GP Federation has 36,018 children and young people under the age of 18. Again, the second highest after Derry. The landmass of the it's the old Newry and Mourne Legacy Council area, that is the Daisy Hill Service area, is about 900 kilometres squared. The Department of Health themselves have said that Newry District has some of the highest prevalences of patients with heart failure and non-diabetic hyperglycemia, as well as coronary heart disease, cancer, arterial fibrillation, hypertension and asthma. Some of the highest rates of kidney disease, stroke, diabetes and COPD anywhere in the north. In addition to the health challenges on Daisy Hill, Daisy Hill is also recognised as demonstrating best clinical practice in a whole number of areas, most notably in renal care, where Daisy Hill's renal unit is ranked as the number one in the entire NHS network. In addition to that, there are incredibly over 800 years of amassed experience in the Daisy Hill midwifery team alone. And as recently as 2023, the Nuffield Trust recommended that Daisy Hill Hospital should be bolstered with, quote, hyper-specialist services, including stroke services and specialist stroke services. The reason I'm asking the council to submit a response to the ongoing consultation is because I think that we have an obligation as a body to take a clear position on what is essentially a proposed downgrade of Daisy Hill Hospital. We should be determinedly advocating for the placement of an area hospital in our district and in the place where the need is greatest and the population is centred. And the third component of the motion, which is to call for the Department of Health to engage with the Irish government to identify mechanisms for establishing Daisy Hill as a cross-border area hospital. I understand, and it goes without saying, that there will be some councillors in the chamber for whom that will be an uncomfortable proposition. And I make it purely on pragmatic reasons. I believe that cross-border cooperation on health makes sense. I mean, throughout the pandemic, we heard repeatedly that illness does not recognise borders. And if that is the truth, then surely illness doesn't recognise borders either. And then why should healthcare recognise borders? So you need to look at real-life examples. For example, when it was working, the Cross-Border Healthcare Directive acted as a lifeline for people who were languishing on northern waiting lists. Reimbursement for treatment received in the Republic alleviated pressure on waiting lists in the north, and more importantly, provided people with timely access to care and improved health outcomes and an overall enhanced quality of life. Another example of sensible partnership is found in the Northwest Cancer Centre, a life-changing initiative which allows people in the Northwest to access cancer treatment without having to travel hundreds of miles. And I would draw members' attention to the fact, to reinforce what I had said at the start about this being a pragmatic approach, it was actually a DUP health minister that signed off the Northwest Cancer Centre at Auchnagelvin. So my view is that Daisy Hill is being unfairly disadvantaged because of its proximity to the border. That's clear in the statement around what a general hospital is. Daisy Hill seems to be viewed in the eyes of the department as a peripheral hospital in a peripheral location. But my question is, peripheral to what? Because Newry sits in the heart of the Belfast-Dublin corridor in the most populated region on this island. So peripheral to what? The question we need to be asking ourselves is, why do people in this area, or why should people in this area, be expected to accept poorer access to healthcare and poorer health outcomes simply because they find themselves peripheral to a map? Aren't people in this district, and specifically in the area that Daisy Hill serves, entitled to expect a bit of ambition and forward thinking from decision makers in health? That's the reason that I am bringing this proposal before the council this evening, to state our case clearly, to contribute to the ongoing consultation, and to set an aspirational direction of travel for Daisy Hill Hospital. Thank you.
Councillor Fian, and seconded by Councillor King.
Thank you, Chair. And yes, we're happy to support the motion. Newry is a major population centre with an excellent hospital, so it is only right that a public meeting on this consultation is held in Newry. Local people must have the opportunity to contribute their views and shape decisions that affect their healthcare. Daisy Hill Hospital is a vital facility, staffed by dedicated professionals who provide outstanding care. Expanding Daisy Hill must be a priority. It serves the population beyond Newry, Mourne and Down, South Armagh. And its proximity to the border means the Department of Health must continue working with the Irish government to maximise its potential. So Sinn Féin fully supports Daisy Hill Hospital, and we are committed to protecting and expanding its services, securing investment and ensuring the local people have access to high quality healthcare close to home. Therefore, we'll continue to hold decision makers to account to ensure that our local hospital gets the resources it needs. So thanks very much, and we'll support the motion.
Thank you, Councillor King. Councillor Campbell.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be brief. I just also just like to draw attention to the ongoing consultation within the South Eastern Trust, especially with regard to the Down Hospital. Just a comment.
Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. Daisy Hill in particular, knowing more, we very much depend on the hospital, so we do, and we want to keep its status as an area hospital as much as anyone else. But just on this last sentence here, pretty much, I don't know if there's a template in place there. Funding an area hospital that crosses an international border, sure does, and what way would governments actually do it? I don't know if there's a template available for that. I know the councillor has highlighted that people did travel to Dublin to get operations done there, and there was a strategy put in place there, what way money was paid for operations. I think the British government paid, or Northern Irish government paid for part of the treatment, and possibly the rest of the treatment was paid by the individual. So I don't think that's a good example of how this here would possibly run. And just simply on this here, until it would be explained to us how an area hospital that transits across an international border is going to work financially, we will not be supporting this, Chair.
Councillor Taylor.
Yep, thanks, Chair. Listen, I suppose every one of us in this chamber, you know, irrespective of what party you belong to, we certainly want to have the best health service provision available to all our constituents and indeed to ourselves personally. And as elected representatives, it's obviously our role to make those most vociferous representations, you know, to the Department of Health and our local health trusts to secure the delivery of that type of provision. And you know, from my own point of view, you know, Daisy Hill's my hospital. I live a couple of miles away from the hospital. I've had two sons born in the hospital in the last number of years. I've had a parent that's received the best treatment in it. I've unfortunately had family members that passed away in it, but they received again the best treatment before that unfortunately happened. So it's personal for all of us that live in that area about wanting the best hospital provision at our, I don't like using the word doorstep, but within close proximity to us. And I know that's what the entire community locally want as well. And what I would say, I suppose, in respect of the motion tonight is that I want to, from my own point of view, to encourage the local community. If there isn't a public meeting in Newry and there isn't one planned at this moment in time, and if they do listen to our considerations and representations made and offers, that certainly that will be very welcomed. But if it doesn't take place, I still want to encourage the local community to respond to that consultation that's in place at the moment, because that's the way that we'll get the message across to any department that we want hospital services that we have at Daisy Hill to be retained and indeed enhanced. Because I want to see it said to be it's a first class facility already, but I certainly want to see that further enhanced going forward, and I want to see it serving a growing population as well, and that's vitally important to all of us as representatives and indeed as members of the population. I do have a concern about the last remark, I'm going to be honest with you, Councillor Fahan. There is a political context to it, I believe. And I do have issues regarding how the governance and funding issues work out in respect to that. So I don't think it's as straightforward as just saying, let's have a cross-border hospital. But that doesn't mean I'm against cross-border cooperation, as I see myself as a constituents that have benefited from schemes as a result of the cross-border scheme that was in place previously, and there are ways to try and look at assistance both jurisdictions in terms of waiting lists and things like that, but it's just something I think it's not as straightforward as just saying let's have a cross-border area hospital. There's a lot of work to do in that regard. So, but the principle of wanting Daisy Hill to be the best hospital that we require and need, certainly no issue with that, you know, and I certainly think everybody's of that, you know, opinion as well, and I don't want anybody to try and say that isn't the case, because I, you know, as much as anybody, I've took part in those public meetings and I've always made my position very clear to anybody, irrespective of whether it's my party colleagues or not. For me, the health, you know, it's a local issue for me, and I want to see my constituents and myself and my family and everybody else getting the best service possible. So I hope, you know, whatever outcome there is from this, that it ends up in Daisy Hill, being retained obviously is a key component of the hospital network, and that's something I've had in terms of conversations with both Robin Swan and him when he was in position as Health Minister, and now Mike Nesbitt as well.
Yeah. And Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Councillor Fian, for bringing this. You're obviously very passionate about this and speaking from the heart. But we feel that as the motion stands, it's very anti-transformation, which is at odds with this evening in the Assembly, where the SDLP brought a motion criticising other parties for not delivering transformation. So we oppose the motion in its current form, but would ask you to consider an amendment, which I just sent to Sarah, and I'll read it out what the amendment is. So after exercise, it would say, agrees that transformation is critical for the survival of Northern Ireland's health and social care system and must be supported by all stakeholders in all health trust areas, calls on the Department of Health to schedule a public meeting in Newry on the hospital reconfiguration framework before February 28th deadline, and calls for the Department of Health to engage with the Irish government to identify mechanisms for expanding cross-border healthcare opportunities. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Truesdale. Is everybody in agreement with the motion? Okay. We'll get it sent across all councillors. Give you a few minutes to get it. How do you get the amendment sent around first? And they were dealing from the after deal with it first. I was going to the Okay, everyone had the chance to read the amendment. Councillor Fehan, do you accept the amendment?
No, I don't. And the reason for that is, thank you for your contribution, Councillor Truesdale, but just at that baseline level, I wouldn't share your assessment of the motion as running counter to transformation. I actually see the motion itself as pointing towards, you know, a transformative undertaking. So, and in addition, I would say that the amendment that you've made kind of muddies the waters a wee bit around the cross-border undertaking. So thank you, but I won't be accepting the motion, the amendment.
Okay, so that means we've got to a vote across the chamber on the amendment. It's not accepted. I need a seconder for the amendment. Councillor Harry. Okay, it hasn't been accepted by the proposal of the motion, so we'll have to go to a vote in the chamber, a vote on the amendment. Do it by a show of hands. No, we can't.
Sorry, Chair, are we voting on the amendment or the yes?
Do a show of hands and then we can just check the online.
Yeah. Okay, can I ask the members online to switch on their cameras? I'm going to do a show of hands just to speed this up. So, on the amendment as proposed by Councillor Truesdale, all those for the amendment, raise your hand. Just remind those online for taking this vote, please switch on your camera. people rush to get out of their pajamas. Okay, those against? Against the amendment?
Riley's against.
Councillor Gibbons is against. And Councillor Gibbons. Yeah. Okay. And any abstentions? Four abstentions. The amendment falls. The amendment falls. Okay. Everybody in agreement with the motion as it stands? Nope. So we'll have to go to a vote again. We're going to do it with a show of hands. So we're now voting on the motion of Councillor Feehan. Sorry, Councillor Bowser, you want in before we go into the vote?
Yeah, just to say that we'd be going against.
We can do that with a show of hands, Councillor Bowser. Go ahead.
I just think it's a bit inconsistent to say that the hospital shouldn't be treated any different because it's on the border. And then on the other hand, you say that because it's on the border, there should be cross-border cooperation. I think a priority here should be on making sure that regardless of where hospitals are in Northern Ireland, that they're supported, that we don't resort to second-best options in cross-border cooperation, because that comes with its own difficulties and barriers.
Thanks, Councillor Bowsey. We're going straight to a vote on the motion. Councillor Feehan.
I just wanted to sort of wrap up, but that right
away. Councillor Ian, we'll do the summary after the vote. I have to deal with the vote first, and then there's an opportunity once passed to summarise. Okay, so we're voting on the motion. All those for the motion. And again, at home, switch on your camera. Those against? And any abstentions? That motion has passed. So, Councillor Feehan, summarise.
I'm not going to keep anybody's here because I know it's getting late, but I just wanted to come back on something that.
A bit older there, Councillor Feehan is going to summarise.
I wanted to come back on something there that Councillor Bowsey had said. You know, you mischaracterised my sentiments during the I didn't say that Daisy Hill Hospital should be treated exactly the same because of its proximity to the border. I said that Daisy Hill Hospital is being treated differently because of its proximity to the border. So I understand you're trying to spin a yarn, and that's your right, and that's fine. But at least be open and honest and upfront about what your objection is. You know, your party colleagues there have poured cold water over the idea of having a conversation about what might be able to be done to rationalise the provision of healthcare in Newry. You know, so we're not trying to break new ground here. We're not trying to start a revolution. We're simply saying that we want to take best practice examples that work in other parts, already established practice that works in the Northwest Cancer Centre in Altnagelvin in Derry, the reciprocal agreement for paediatric cardiology that exists in Dublin, you know, the EU funding that was provided for addiction services on a cross-border basis. You know, this isn't quantum physics. This is very, very simple. I mean, look to the European continent if you want to know how they do healthcare on a so-called international border. Their borders are as porous as ours are, you know, so don't mischaracterise my words and just be honest about your objection to it, because what we're talking about here is in politics is pragmatism.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Bain. Okay, that motion has passed, so moving on to item 13, notice of motion on street lighting. And this motion, understanding Order 16.1.1, will be referred to the Sustainability and Environment Committee. So, Councillor Finner, can you read your motion and tell us who's second?
Yeah. So, Newry, Mourne and Down District Council notes with concerns areas which are lacking or have no street lighting, particularly in light of the issue of women's safety, and will, in conjunction with the Department of Infrastructure, undertake a scoping exercise to identify areas which could avail of additional street lighting across the district, and that will be seconded by Councillor Devlin.
Councillor Devlin. Yep. Thank you. And Last but not least is item 14. This is the notice of motion on the parking strategy. And again, under Standing Order 16.1.6, this will be referred to the Sustainability and Environment Committee. So, Councillor Mathers, can you read the motion and tell us who seconds?
Thanks. That this council recognises its responsibility to make Newry Morning Down an attractive, accessible and welcoming place to live, work, shop and socialise in. That our residents with disabilities face challenges in their day-to-day life. Council, like all public authorities, must do all they can to address these challenges. Off-street public car parking is a competency of council. Access to off-street car parking can be a challenge for persons with disabilities. This challenge can be in physically accessing the pay stations or in the use of mobile apps. Therefore, calls on council to examine the feasibility and implement, when viable, free car parking for blue badge holders in all council-run car parks, to develop a publicity campaign to promote this change, and to provide an urgent update to elected members on the new parking strategy mandated by full council in July 24, and the motion will be seconded by Councillor Hart. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that, Aidan, and that'll be referred to the SME committee. That concludes the agenda for this evening, so safe home, and for those that may go in a different direction for the next council meeting and that's across this chamber, just want to say that it was a pleasure working with you, wherever you are, and I wish you the best in your new roles. Thank you.